Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, September 4th. I'm Ray Graff. If you're looking to make some improvements around the house, or if your house is, well, I've seen better days and you need to do some repairs, I know the feeling. Today on the show, we have a licensed professional engineer and construction specialist, Darren Tracy, ready to answer your home maintenance and repair questions. Darren has extensive experience in construction, renovation, property management, joins us to offer his expertise. Always a popular show. It's always a show, and it's usually popular when he's on. The number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. If you have a home improvement question, 800-348-2551, or email voxpop@wamc.org. Darren Tracy and your home improvement calls coming up. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's time for home maintenance, repair, and improvement. We welcome back our buddy Darren Tracy. Darren is a licensed professional engineer with experience in construction, renovation, and property management. He is a Building Performance Institute certified building analyst and a licensed master plumber. He runs the West Branch Engineering Consulting and Construction Firm, and he is a director of the Capital District Chapter of the New York State Society of Professional Engineers. You got a question for Darren today? Give us a call, 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org. That's how you email. If you want to call, do it, 800-348-2551. Darren Tracy, how are you?
I'm great, Ryan. Thank you.
Boy, that's one heck of a video about the outside shower you got. We put the link on today's show page, too. So
okay, good.
That's new?
It's a new video. We've had our shower for a couple of years. I wish we would have had it 20 years ago. I'm one of the greatest home improvements you can have.
But we've talked about the outside showers before. The video is great. I heartily recommend everybody check this out. But when it's January, February, what are you going to do, man?
Well, no, you shut her down.
Okay.
But you're good in this geography from May until November.
And you
it's
just,
a lot of fun.
You use it all the time.
Use it all the time.
Well,
my wife says in the video, she hasn't taken a shower inside.
She's got
since
some great
from May to November.
She's got some great comic timing. She almost made my jaw drop there at one point in the video. The number here is 800-348-2551. Well, you brought stuff.
Well, this is.
Oh, is it, are we doing name that tool again?
Name that tool if you want to do it.
All right, I know what this is. It's
you can't say what it is. You have to describe it physically.
Okay. It's a handheld device about the length of a screwdriver. It's got a wooden handle that you'd find like on a screw. It's not a screwdriver. It's got a wooden handle, and it's metal. Yeah. And how much description do you want? Because it's pretty obvious what it is.
As much as you want. I'm looking for a specific name. So
a specific name for this thing. Okay.
It's a specific type of
thing that it is.
Tool. Specific type, yeah.
Well, okay, well, that's very vague. I don't know how to describe it without...
I mean, you might want to describe this part.
The serrated edges?
Yes, a serrated edge.
Okay, it's got serrated edges.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting shape that is akin to a very slender A-frame house in two dimensions. It's a triangle, but it's very... What is it, an isosceles triangle? It's very tall and
it's
thin.
It's more acute.
It's more acute?
Yeah.
Well, it is fairly nice. The number here is 800-348-2551. It's named That Tool with Darren Tracy. And you wanted to mention, before we get to the emails, and we have a ton of those and calls are coming in, you wanted to mention Tugboat Roundup.
Yeah, a couple of things. There's a nonprofit event this weekend in Waterford, New York, at Lock 1 on the Erie Canal. It's called the Tugboat Roundup, and this is an anniversary year. I think it's 25 years.
Wow.
And there will be many working tugboats tied up to the docks there that you can board and check out this weekend, Saturday, Sunday, maybe even Friday night. I'm not sure about that, but at least Saturday and Sunday. And it's free. It's a great place to bring kids. They have vendors, crafts, farmers market. But the beauty is you get to see these working tugboats.
Do you have a tugboat?
Well, we do have a tugboat look-alike. It's a pleasure boat, but it does look like a tugboat. It's called a Ranger Tug, and actually down there now. We slept on that boat last night, my wife and I.
Oh, so cool. Well, the weather was great for that. Nice and cool out there.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So the tugboat roundup is 3 days, and it's what, Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
I'm not sure about Friday night. There will be boats there, and you can walk by at least on Friday night and Saturday, Sunday for sure. There will be yes, because we're in this. There's a parade from the city of Albany up the Hudson through the Federal Lock in Troy over to the mouth of the Erie Canal.
Well, that's
we'll
be
part
phenomenal.
Of that parade. That's a fun thing to see, too, and that's – let's see, Friday afternoon, 3, 4, 5 o'clock, probably pulling into Waterford around 5 o'clock to help fire tank pumpers there. It's quite the show.
And it looks like the weather should be very nice, late summer weather, not too dog days, hot. I mean, there's sections of the Hudson that might not smell all that great when it's 100 degrees, but it's nice out.
And it's a great event.
Yeah.
I encourage anybody to check it out if they haven't been there before.
So what possessed you to get a boat that looks like a tugboat?
Well, we did a lot of marine construction work over the years, and we hired a tugboat to do some work on some of the dams on the Hudson River and got to know Bart Brake, and he was one of the original tugboat roundup organizers. Hired him for some work, and he said, he had this very coarse voice and quite the character.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some characters in this boating world. He made his own tugboat from scratch.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it works.
He's from North Creek and operational, and he said, "Come now, we're having a parade, and you can get on the boat and check it out."
So it was like poop deck pappy.
Yeah, so I got on the tugboat, and we went up to the roundup, and it's just a great event.
Cool.
And so I always had my eye on the tugboat and came across this pleasure boat that looks like a tugboat.
But it won't really tug anything.
It'll tug quite a bit. It's got 150 horse diesel.
So it's akin to an SUV that'll go off-road a little bit.
More like a Jeep or,
All right.
Yeah.
This email from Kevin in Hebron. We went with Hebron? Yes. Andrea, our screener, said go with Hebron. I'm not sure. Could be Hebron. Could be. I don't know. What do you think? Hebron or Hebron?
I think they pronounce it Hebron in Washington
County.
Do they? I could be mistaken.
All right. Hebron it is then. We have a house in Hebron that we think has issues with the foundation. The house was built in the mid-70s. It has a crawl space on cinder blocks. It looks like some beams may no longer be supported correctly, perhaps some rot issues with the sill. There's moisture and condensation in the crawl space as well, which is likely contributing to these issues. What kind of professional or contractors would be best to help us figure out what to do?
There are some basement contractors out there, a few. Tough to find. Not everybody wants to work in a crawl space, limited space.
Yeah.
So ask around at your local lumber yards or big box stores. That's the best way to find a contractor if you're not aware of any.
Who do you ask? I mean, sometimes I go to a big box store, I can't find anyone.
Well, you're better off to go to your local building supply store. I don't know if I can name it.
Well, I know what you mean. The local hardware stores.
More local building supply stores.
Okay.
And they're fewer than what they used to be. I mean, there used to be Myron Lumber in Albany. They no longer exist.
Yeah.
But there are other
places
that contractors generally buy their lumber for house building.
Curtis Lumber.
Curtis
places
Lumber.
Like
that's
that.
Who I was going to say.
This email is from Bill in Clifton Park. Not sure if you'll be able to see the photos I'm attaching, but he did, and I showed him. I wonder if Darren could explain what's happening with our foundation. In the first picture, you could see where the main central support joist in the basement rests on a notch in the foundation. This joist is also supported by several lally columns. In the second picture, you can see that a section of the concrete foundation is literally being pushed away from the foundation wall. Is it possible that the joist is shifting and therefore pushed part of the foundation out? Should we be concerned? And what does Darren think is causing this? And that's from Bill in Clifton Park.
Okay, more specifically, it's not a main support joist. It's a main beam running down the center of the home that individual joist rests upon.
Right.
And there is a pocket in the concrete wall where this beam sits, and there happens to be a crack in that area. It's more likely than not that the foundation is settling, could be for a variety of reasons. I mean, there is a larger load coming down there because of the point load from the beam.
Yeah.
But there's a settlement issue. I took a look at the photos, and the cracks are larger than what you would expect in concrete. One thing that's for sure about concrete, it will crack.
Right.
I mean, it shrinks about a quarter of an inch for every 50 feet in length. If you pour a wall that's 50 feet long, it's going to shrink up a quarter of an inch. So that's longer than a typical
house. But that's more than it should be.
These cracks are more than that.
Okay.
And they're shifting out of plane, too. So something's going on there that would warrant a closer look by somebody like me, professional engineer.
So a building analyst kind of thing?
More of an engineer, structural engineer, professional engineer.
All right, fair enough. Let's grow one call here before the break. Arnie in Ballston Spa wants to play a spirited round of Name That Tool. Arnie, you're on.
Is it a three-corner file?
Three-corner file.
No.
And I guess
no,
that's my fault. The file is more three-dimensional. This object is more of a two-dimensional. I mean, obviously, it has three dimensions, but looking from a distance, it's flat.
What's on one end of this, Ray?
A wooden handle.
Okay, and then what's on the other end?
It's a metal flat thing that has serrated edges.
Yeah, I think that'll help.
Okay, fair enough. You want to give it another shot, Arnie? It's triangular.
A trowel?
Trowel?
Eh.
Okay, buddy. Hey, listen, not your fault. We didn't describe it well, but thank you for playing Name That Tool. We'll take a break. 800-348-2551. That's the number. Darren Tracy's our guest. We'll be back. Song named after one of my favorite sandwiches. There's Big Mac by Buddy Rich and the orchestra, going back to the roar of 74 on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551. Yes, Darren Tracy.
How would you describe that genre of music?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Buddy Rich at that time was doing a little crossover to the rock market. I don't know if it was intentional or that was just the style he was going for. But, I mean, it had some rock elements to it.
I mean, it sounded
pedal and
jazzy to me.
It was. I mean, that was his big band.
Okay.
Yeah,
I thought there might be a specific name for that type of jazzy music or genre.
Yeah, you can. All right. Well, if you want to play Name That Tool, that's fine. But if you also want to play Name That Genre for that music, feel free. It's 800-348-2551. One more email, and then we'll go to the phones. This is from Matt. What are the signs and symptoms of a leaky or faulty toilet seal? The carpet in my laundry room around the toilet has been damp for a few weeks, but not wet. Not wet enough to even dampen a paper towel at all. Could it be the seal?
Yes.
Sounds like it could.
That's a good sign. If it's damp around the base, that's a good sign.
And they're not terribly difficult.
No, you have to unscrew the two carriage bolts on each side. Sometimes those can be rusted up. And
lifting the toilet's the worst part.
Yeah, you can. Yeah,
you can crack it.
You can actually take that apart in sections. Take the top off, but
oh, really?
It's best to maybe get somebody young and strong and
absolutely
just pull it up and then add another wax ring,
which are inexpensive.
They're inexpensive.
Let me ask
a couple
you a question.
Bucks.
While we're on that topic, last time I tried to replace a wax ring, which I think I was successful, I was in the store, hardware store, and they have completely non-wax rings that are also available. They're some synthetic rubber. I don't know what they are. Any experience with those?
I have no experience with those. I do have experience with a wax ring that has a plastic funnel extending down below the bottom of the wax ring, and those can be helpful to direct the waste down into the pipe.
Okay.
Yep.
Let's go to the phones, and it's Latham. Lee, you're on.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
I recently removed the 5/4-inch wood decking off my deck, and I'm about to replace that with similar product. I'm wondering whether the frame needs to be replaced at the same time. Most of the members in pretty good shape. A couple are rotted out. I know I'm going to be replacing those. But does the whole frame have to be replaced?
No, if it's not rotted, no. And often the decking boards, this would be on a porch or a deck that's exposed to the elements, is
yes.
that correct? Yeah. Yeah, often
yes.
the deck boards themselves take the brunt of the wear and the tear, and the framing members below are okay and can last two or three times as long as the decking. Yeah.
Lee.
In places where the frame is a little bit split and I'm removing the deck screws, is there any way that that material can be prepped to put in new screws or turned upside down or some other way so that it holds well?
Well, Lee, that's a judgment call and a matter of degree as to how much it's split. If it's split too much, it's a place for water to get in, and it might be more prone to rot in the future. Once you have the deck boards off, if it's a questionable joist, I'd probably replace it since it's best done when the boards are off. If you want to send me a photograph so I can see the specific area that you're talking about, you can email that to me, and I'll comment on that. It's Darren@WestBranchInc.com.
Darren@WestBranchInc.com. And Lee, thanks for the call. And Darren, thank you. You know, you don't have to volunteer to do this. We do this show every couple months.
I don't think I gave my email last time.
Oh, really?
Last time.
But, you know, to be clear, Darren's not scouting out for jobs. This is just if you have a quick question he can answer.
Something quick like that, I'm glad to do that.
All right, let's Debbie in Rensselaer wants to play Name That Tool. Hello, Debbie, you're on.
Hi, good afternoon. I was wondering if that is a drywall saw.
A drywall saw?
Yes, but I'm looking up for a more specific name.
A specific name.
More of a... Okay, well, I could identify it, and I don't know the more specific name, so we'll leave that
but
for somebody else.
But that's mainly what it's used for, but it has a more specific name.
So we're going to give Debbie three quarters credit on this, yeah?
I'd say so,
all right,
yeah.
Debbie, thanks a lot for the call. And Larry writes in from Latham, sounds like a sheetrock knife, which would be the same thing, right?
Well, no, a sheetrock knife has a blade. He's probably referring to the same thing that Debbie was.
But
this has it's a particular type of
That's what I mean.
Saw.
Yeah. Same as what Debbie was talking about.
Yeah.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Go ahead.
Yeah, regarding emailing me with any questions, you could check out my YouTube channel because I put up videos on my YouTube channel, many of them stemming from questions on this show.
Very instructive, and they're great videos. They're a lot of fun. The new one on the outdoor shower is a hoot, and even if you don't plan on making an outdoor shower, which, of course, I don't, but it's still interesting.
Yeah, and I don't even know my name on YouTube, but if you Google or YouTube, go to YouTube and search bar Darren Tracy Engineer, my videos will come up.
Or you can go to the WAMC Vox Pop page for today, and there is a link to the video, outside shower video, but you'll see them all. So that's one way to go, and let's go now to West Hampton, Massachusetts. Cynthia, you're up.
Hi, gentlemen. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Hi. I'm calling because we recently have had a marked reduction in water pressure in our shower head in the bathroom, and we went out and bought a really good Delta shower head, not from a big box store, but from a plumbing store, replaced it, and it had no impact whatsoever. And the odd thing is that there's no loss in water pressure anywhere else in the house. We have a water conditioning system in the basement with two giant metal tanks that look a lot like, what do you call them, that they had in the war, propane tank.
Okay.
Two large water conditioning tanks in the basement, and they're professionally maintained every year by the company that installed them. And they've been very good at filtering out sediments, especially rust in our water.
Uh-huh.
So the question is, why have we lost our water pressure in one location?
Interesting. Okay, what do you think, Darren?
I'm not sure, Cynthia. What I would do is take that new head off completely and run your hot water. Is it just your hot water or cold water or both?
Well, when you take a shower, you know, it's a blend.
Okay, it's a blend. It's not limited to just the hot or cold.
No, I think it's both.
Okay. So I would take the new head off and run that full bore with no head on for a while, see how the flow is. And maybe there is a piece of debris in the line that broke through and is clogging up that line, and maybe you can, by running the water, you can wash that out. Alternatively, I might buy a $1.99 shower head cheap and just try that one.
Oh, great idea, and see if that does any difference. Yeah. You know, Cynthia, is it possible that the new shower head that Cynthia bought, good one, has the regulator in it? There's a
low flow. Yeah. It's possible. That's why I suggested buying a $1.99 one.
Can't you? Or is it illegal? I don't know.
No, it's not illegal. It depends on the nozzle. There are some energy saver, water restricting nozzles.
Okay.
But you can buy really inexpensive plastic shower heads for maybe $2.99 or something like that. If taking the head off that you're using and flushing it doesn't work, I would suggest buying one of those really inexpensive ones. And if that still is restricted, then you know it's not the shower head. It's something in the line, debris in the line.
Okay.
Okay, Cynthia, thanks for the call. Number here is 800-348-2551. I believe, Darren Tracy, we have a winner in Name That Tool.
Okay.
Dave in Olive Bridge says, keyhole saw.
Perfect. Bingo!
And you win absolutely nothing except our admiration. Yeah. So thank you very much. And let's go to Plainfield, Massachusetts. Eric, you're on.
Thank you so much, both of you gentlemen.
Thank you.
We have an 1834 portion of the house with a drywall foundation, a French perimeter drain, which goes through a recess at the bottom of that foundation and down the front lawn, under a dirt road, and into the brook. With several extreme rain events last year, the basement got up to my thighs with water.
Not good.
Not good. And there was firewood floating around. It was a mess. My suspicion is that the pressure of all that volume of water eventually blew the drain out.
Oh.
But I want to explore it. It is about 1 foot high with stones on each side, maybe a foot and a half across. I'd like to send a camera down there and a big drill. Do those technologies exist?
Sure they do. You would want to contact a Rooter company. They have.
I did.
Okay. And what did
they
say?
They didn't know what I was talking about.
You might want to call another one, because that's one of the things they do is have cameras that they send down pipes to see if pipes are clogged up. And if those pipes are clogged up, they do have tools that can break them free. So I would check another Rooter company. So someplace between your foundation and the outlet to the brook, you think it's clogged up. Is that correct?
Or partially occluded, some version of that.
Yeah. And then if you ran a camera down there 40 feet away from, if the camera identified the blockage at 40 feet away from the house, you could go address it at that point. That's a good idea.
Okay, well, thanks a lot. Appreciate the call, Eric. Lexi writes in, you know, outside showers are actually called bathing grottos.
Okay.
I like that.
Haven't heard that one.
Can you picture your wife saying, oh, honey, I'm going to the bathing grotto?
As my wife would say, you can take the redneck out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the redneck.
Yeah, buddy. We're talking.
I'll add that to my vocabulary list. Bathing grotto.
Bathing grotto. Meet you in the bathing grotto. Nina in Amherst, you're on.
Hello.
Hello. Go ahead. It's your turn.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, should I turn my radio off?
That would be swell. That's probably throwing you off. I know whenever I hear my own voice, it makes me want to hurl. But there you go.
Yeah.
That's great, Wayne.
You can do that. Okay. So, yeah, we are just getting through having a moisture problem in our house.
We had a leak in a pipe that led to moisture in a cabinet, that led to mold, that led to it going through the ceiling into our finished basement, that led to moisture and mold. And we've just had it all remediated as of yesterday.
Okay.
And we're going to be reconstructing a lot of our kitchen island and the ceiling. My question is, two things. One is that our builder made some serious mistakes 9 years ago that are only becoming apparent now. One is the material that the cabinets were made out of. They're cherry on the outside, but they're flake board and melamine on the inside. We were not informed of that until I took the design to a cabinet maker yesterday. And they said, are you aware that these are not plywood on the inside? I said, no. And so I want to know, in terms of rebuilding, I don't think we want to rebuild them with that material on the inside. They're beautiful cabinets made by a wonderful cabinet maker, or so we thought, out here. So that's one, what you would recommend. And then secondly, what kind of ventilation you would put into a basement, because we have a zero net house. And so it's very tight, which is part of why this happened in this weather. They did not install ERVs or HRVs into our basement, even though we have that on our top two floors above the basement. And what kind of recourse do we have with a builder that built our house 9 years ago?
Oh, boy, that's a legal question.
Want to communicate with us.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Might want to stay away from that part,
well,
Darren.
I'll take that one first and reiterate that that's a legal question, and you can hire an attorney, and then they would contact somebody like me who's does expert witness work for answering technical questions, and they would build their case.
Okay, we may not decide to go that route. Yeah. But,
the expensive route to go. Yeah,
and regarding the ERV.
It may not be worth it, but it's just kind of uncanny that all these problems could have been solved by things being built differently. So,
okay, regarding the ERV and the HRV, for the listeners that may not be aware of what those are, that's a energy recovery for the ERV ventilation system, and the HRV is a heat recovery ventilation system. Similar, except one takes into account gathering energy from the amount of moisture in the air. So I'm not sure if it's common practice to require an additional HRV or ERV in the basement, in that you have one above grade. I would say that below grade.
It's not servicing the basement, though. It's not servicing any part of our basement. It's not plumbed in to do that.
Okay. Well, I would say that that should be at least monitored in a net zero house. A net zero home, again, for listeners that may not be aware, it's a very tight home.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
And because of that, you need to really be concerned about dealing with the moisture that's created in the home and have proper air exchange for healthy living and not having a So that should at least be monitored in the basement. And if there was a higher humidity level in the basement, then an HRV or ERV should have been added in the basement. You could, depending on the system you had, you could have picked up some of that air and refreshed it from your units in the above floors. And then regarding the cabinets, plywood is better than a chip or particle board. It's more stable, dimensionally stable. So I would suggest that if you're not using solid wood, then the shelving, the backup.
They're
should
cherry
be,
on the outside.
Yeah, cherry on the outside. But the frame itself would better be a ply material versus pressed board material.
Well, Nina, thanks for the call. It's 800-348-2551 if you have a question for Darren Tracy today. And before we take our next break, even though we know the answer to the Name That Tool, Gregory in Kingston clearly hasn't been listening. So we'll give him one shot before we go to the break. Gregory in Kingston, what is it?
Yeah, hey, you already got it. It was keyhole saw.
Correct. That's you right. Got it again. All right. Well,
and I wasn't even listening, really. I'm multitasking. I didn't get a description of it, but when somebody wanted to describe some kind of a sheetrock saw, and that wasn't the one that they were describing.
Yeah.
That had
yeah.
to be the answer.
Dude, I'm gonna award the points anyway, and they're worth absolutely
okay.
nothing, so what the heck. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's Vox Pop already. Darren Tracy's our guest. We'll be back. The Wiggle Walk, Count Basie and the Orchestra from Basie Plays Benny Carter, I think, yeah?
So would that be described as a big band
that's
music?
Big band jazz. That's
big band jazz.
The gold
okay.
standard, my
yep.
friend. The Basie Orchestra, Sonny Payne on the drums. Oh, yeah. All right, so why do they call it a keyhole saw?
Well, this is an educated guess on my part, but because it's slender in the front, it can slide into a small hole, like a key slides into a keyway, so
yeah.
a keyhole saw.
Okay.
That's why it's called that way.
So you're not
I
cutting
think.
An actual keyhole with it?
No, you're not actually cutting a keyhole. And actually, you can it's pointed on the end, so you can just jab it right through sheetrock and start cutting right away.
Huh. So those people who said sheetrock saw were pretty close.
Used in the sheetrock industry.
All right. Yes. Let's go to the emails for a little bit, then we'll go back to the phones. This is from Joe. The siding on our house, which I believe is pine siding. Yes, pine siding. There have been some form of borers making holes in our siding. Woodpeckers have been exacerbating the issue, trying to dig them out for food. How should I properly prepare the surface and seal up those holes before repainting? Is there a preference between painting or staining to prevent future occurrences?
What I do, and for anyone that hasn't seen these bees make these perfectly cylindrical holes
yeah.
in wood. I take bee spray and saturate the hole, and then I'll fill it with a wood filler or a caulk, mm-hmm. and it has that pesticide embedded in the wood, so that's what I do.
Okay. This is from Lee in Oneonta, New York. I have followed your advice for conditioning a crawl space. What thickness would you recommend in, millimeters,
I guess? Yeah, millimeters. I've also often referenced 6 mil black poly because that's readily available and inexpensive. But the thicker, the better, and there are much better vapor barriers out there. You can see that in one of my YouTube channels, too, and actually of our daughter's house, daughter's crawl space.
Oh, I saw that one.
That
yeah.
really good job with their crawl space. And that's thick enough where you can walk on it and not worry about tearing it. But at least 6 mil, and if you have that down and you plan on walking in that crawl space or even basement area, just recently consulted on this sizable, significant size basement, this really nice old house, but it had a dirt basement floor. I'm not sure if they're going to pour concrete over the whole floor, but they're going to put the vapor barrier down, and I suggested using pavers that you might buy lawn and garden to put on top of the vapor barrier if you have to walk, say, to your furnace in the basement or in any type of area where you would have a high traffic. So 6 mil minimum
okay.
black poly.
And Lee follows up, does the liner need to be of the reinforced variety?
No, but more is better.
And then Lee says, I assume color doesn't matter on that.
In a dark area, no. Like if you're putting a vapor barrier down and pouring concrete over top of it, you could use clear poly, but clear poly is susceptible to UV damage, and it becomes really brittle, whereas the black poly seems to hold up for a long, long time. They're both about the same price, so I always go with black.
Okay. By the way, does your daughter know how lucky she is that you have these skills and come over and fix stuff?
I don't know. She's a smart girl herself and an engineer. And
okay, but she still relies on dad.
A little bit. They're independent and living their own life over in New Hampshire. You know, they're very independent over there.
All right. This is from Mika. How do you lower a too high water level in a toilet bowl?
You bring down there's a vertical pipe, and
You get that overflow, too.
It's an overflow. You could just cut that down, or also you can adjust the float height. So a combination of those two. You should be able to adjust the float height.
Okay. And second question from Mika. Also, how to fix this? The toilet had been flushing successfully on every flush, but now will succeed on one flush and then fail to flush successfully the next time the bowl fills, but the flush stops so that the tank has to fill again and then be flushed again to get a successful flush.
Yeah, it might be some blockage in the line if it's a rural septic system, residential wastewater septic system. You may want to check into the septic tank, and you want to have those pumped every 3, 4, 5 years max and inspect those. I should say it's the time of year we should check your filters on your heat pump units, your mini splits. That's a good thing to do, and smoke alarms, carbon monoxide detectors.
Okay.
Just want to mention that.
This is the time of year.
This is the time of year to do those types of things.
All right, let's go back to our phone lines. Darren Tracy's our guest today. 800-348-2551 is the number. And Lauren is in Troy. Hello, Lauren.
Hello. Good afternoon, Mr. Graff.
Hi.
And Mr. Tracy. I want to get a generator, and with what has happened in the last just a few months with outages, I was looking at a natural gas generator, so it would be for whatever the duration might be of what we choose to have on the generator. But we have another opinion in the household looking at electric, some kind of electric storage unit that you use. I don't know, is it actually called a generator? But I wondered what kinds of questions I should ask before installing anything, and whether there was a preference of one of those or another.
Okay.
I have very limited knowledge of battery backup for power outages. So that's what the electrical angle is? I guess.
Yeah, okay.
It's not being powered by your electric grid system, because that's why you have the backup generator. And natural gas generators, where you do have municipal natural gas, are that's a good alternative.
I want to get one of those so bad. Yeah.
Yep.
All right, Lauren.
Okay.
Sorry I can't help you more on that, Lauren.
Good luck with
that. Well, I just wondered. We had one 26-hour outage, and
yep.
I have health issues, so
I
really want to get one.
Totally. Yeah. Well, let us know. You know, if you get it installed, call back and let us know how it's working. Thank you very much for the call. Go ahead.
I just want to speak to that a bit. You can utilize a portable gasoline generator,
right?
You want to make sure that they're outdoors.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing that up. You never want to have a gasoline engine running in a confined space, in the basement's a confined space. But as long as you have a transfer switch, and we have this in our house set up, you can use just a basic gasoline generator outside, and those with 5 gallon tanks, you know, they can last you 5, 6, 7, 8 hours.
Yeah, but how many amps?
They can be 5,000 watt generators, any size you want, really. You get bigger than you generally would be into a diesel engine, but you know, a 5,000 watt generator is not a bad alternative versus a permanent generator. But the key is having a proper transfer switch set up in your home.
And some of these that you buy that are, you see them advertised, and they look great, frankly. They're natural gas. They sit on the side of the house. Automatic transfer switches.
Yeah,
on those,
it's sweet.
Yeah, I totally. Yeah,
more expensive.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Sweet.
I'm sure I'll never be able to afford it. Let's go to John in Philmont. John, you're on.
Oh, hi. I have a question about my basement. I'm getting moisture, not a tremendous amount, but when it rains, so half the basement is unfinished with a cement floor and spray foam between the studs. The other side is finished with a wooden floor. So on the side with the wooden floor, the floorboards are rotted. I can see there's no barrier layer underneath the floorboards. And on the unfinished side, it sort of seeps sort of below the studs. So we've had various people look at the situation, and two people advised excavating on the outside, covering the shale stack with a sealant, and then, you know, putting in a barrier layer, and then, you know, drainage pipes to draw excess rainwater away from the house. The third person who came said that he didn't think that would help, that it was actually seeping up from the water table, and they were wanting to jackhammer, you know, channels with drainage pipe system that would, you know, go toward the sub pump. So do you have a feeling one way or the other which would be the best solution?
Probably option one and option two contractor. Digging around the exterior of the foundation, installing a perimeter drain, digging down to the foundation level, which is below the concrete floor level, installing stone and pipe, and then taking that pipe by gravity away from the building to daylight is the best way to mitigate water in a basement. It's keeping water away from the basement. Even with a high water table, that takes the water away. That's more expensive than contractor three. Not that it's inexpensive to install a French drain around the perimeter, but it's typically less expensive, less intrusive. Get a lot of wet basement.
The French drain?
Yeah,
the French drain is it's an option. It's a viable option. Yeah, and I would advise against wood in the basement.
Put a French drain. One contractor said that if we were, you know, wanted to do it less expensively, he would do a French drain on one side and do the excavation on the other side, on the finished side of the basement. But then, you know, the second option who came said he didn't think the French drain was going to actually work. So
okay.
It's an expensive proposition either way. You're saying excavating around the exterior and putting in the drainage system and the rock is the best way to go?
Rock and perforated pipe, 4-inch ADS drain pipe so that it picks up the water, and then run that in a trench away from the basement. And if the grades permit, you run that out to daylight, and that's the Cadillac standard or gold standard.
All right, John, thanks a lot for the call. A French drain, we've talked about. Do they have Belgian drains? The accent's got to be similar. All right, let's go to Linda, who's in Schenectady. Linda, hello.
Hello. A small portion of my roof, which is shaded area, has moss on it. Is that a concern? Should I get rid of that?
I think it's a slight concern. Typically happens on the north side of homes, and I know it's happened on my garage, and I'll get on there and I'll take a stiff broom and broom it off. I've researched that before, and I guess it does extend the life of the roof by getting the moss off. So
okay.
Yeah.
So that would be the only problem with it, is life of the roof, as opposed to other problems that might come up?
Well, that's the main problem with roofing, is shortening
the
life.
Okay, well, that's an easy.
Yeah.
All right. Linda,
do that. Thank you.
One thing about that, Ray, is just don't be too aggressive with that. Just use
a
relatively stiff. Don't get out there with a scraper and put holes in the roof. And
you want to know something? Years ago, we have a cape, and ice dams have been a thing. And idiot me, I'm up there, not up there, but I have a roof rake, and I'm scraping, and I put a hole in the roof, and it leaked, and it was a disaster, man. I'm such a fool.
Isn't that frustrating when you're trying to improve a situation and you
make
it worse?
It way worse. Water
happens
flowing.
Happens so often.
Yeah, I get that a lot. So, all right, this email from let's go one more call, and then we'll grab a couple emails to wrap up here. Neil in Hardwick, you're on.
Hi, thank you. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So I have two different hose bibs on the outside of my house, both of which are supposedly frost-free. One of them, when it has like a hose timer attached to it, which is off, drips through the stem continuously, and another one, which is a different style, doesn't. I called the manufacturer of the hose bib, and they said, oh, yes, they're designed to do that. And so my question is there any reason why I would want to have that style versus the other style, which doesn't? There's some kind of certification, he says, that it meets.
Well, what you would want is the water to bleed out of the hose bib and not remain there to freeze. So I think they accomplish that by a couple of different ways, and one is having the closure occur way back into the basement in a heated space, and then the pipe would be tilted such that the water will drain towards the outside and not just stay in the pipe. I think that's the idea that the manufacturer, you want the pipe to be free of any moisture that could freeze.
So I have access, this is in an unfinished side of the basement, so I have access to the pipe. So if I just replace this with one that has the valve stem way back inside the foundation, then that should be good.
That should be good. And one thing you should not do is keep your hose connected in the winter to your hose bib.
Hose faucet. They're all taken
Why?
Off. Yeah,
well, because it stops the water off. From bleeding back out. Yeah. We're talking about.
Oh.
Right. If you shut the frost-proof hose bib, the stop occurs on the warm side inside the basement, and then the water inside the rest of the pipe drains out. But if it's attached to a hose, it can't drain out.
Oh, interesting.
Also, your spray nozzle blows apart, and your hose can blow apart. So another thing to do in the autumn, late autumn, is disconnect your hoses and also take the nozzles off your hose.
Uh-huh. Okay. Neil, thanks a lot for the call. You know, a couple calls ago, we were talking about moss on the roof, and I just had a picture of an article I read where this guy had a grass growing and sheep grazing on his roof. Have you ever done anything like that?
I've seen live roofs right over here at SUNY Albany. They have green roofs. They're interesting.
Other than perhaps ecological reasons, what's the point?
Well, stormwater management, for one. It can handle some stormwater, and it will eventually drain down through there, but not as much as just a typical rubber flat roof where it discharges more quickly.
Mm.
So that's another advantage.
All right. This email from Jerome. Another roof question. I live in the Adirondack Park and built my retirement home myself. My roof is a 10/12 pitch and is constructed with rafters 16 inches on setter, half-inch CDX plywood, number 20 black paper, and metal sheet roofing with exposed fasteners. I know that's not the best way to do it, but how long would you expect it to last?
Metal roofing, depending upon the finish, they have these.
It's not. Is it metal?
It's a CDX plywood with.
It says here, you can. It says my roof is 10/12
pitch. That's a pitch.
Constructed with rafters 16 inches on center, half inch CDX plywood, 20 inch black paper. Oh, and metal sheet roofing. Oh, I see.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And that's a typical construction, 16 inches on center for the rafters is good.
Yeah.
Better than 24 inches. 24 can be adequate, but 16 is good. Half-inch CDX is good. Tar paper on top. And then the metal roof comes painted. You buy it in a big box store. Polymer finish, Kynar is one of the name brands. That stuff stays on a long time, 30, 40 years.
Oh, wow, that's great.
You have to be careful when you cut that. If you don't order it to exact length and you field cut it, you're going to have a rusty edge. So you need to prime and paint that rusty edge. That's one thing that happens. Long time. Metal roofs last a long time.
All right, this last email here from Peggy, who says, I applied TWP stain to my wooden deck after sanding it down to bare wood. Places are getting black. Do you recommend vinegar, Clorox, Pine Sol, something else to clean it?
Yes.
Well, come on.
I mean, they have light bleach solutions to clean those siding applications.
So that would be the best way to go?
Not
Pine Sol or Clorox or one of those things?
I think it was trisodium phosphate, the TWP. Is that
Yeah.
You can use that. There are different products.
All right.
If it's chlorine, it's a very dilute solution. Just back on that metal roofing, that's 30, 40 years. That's just for the finish. And then you can paint it, and it'll last a lifetime. metal roof on the house I grew up in, over 100 years old.
Wow.
Still there.
Fantastic. All right, so Stephanie writes in, remember we were talking about your outside shower, or whatever they called it, the grotto.
The bathing grotto.
We stayed at an inn this summer in the Adirondacks that had a steam shower. We fell in love with the shower, wondering if there is a reason why it would not be a good idea to have one installed in our own home. Steam showers are great.
Is she talking about exterior or interior? Be great outside. Interior could create a problem with the moisture.
I was in a house once that had steam showers, and they're awesome.
Yeah, I've actually installed one.
Yeah?
Yeah. It was going to hold on to the house, but ended up selling it, so I've never used it.
All right, we're done here. Darren Tracy, once again, if people want to find you, how do they do that?
WestBranchEngineering.com is the website and YouTube channel. Search Darren Tracy Engineer and have a lot of projects on there that have been discussed on this program. A lot of basement projects.
Beautiful job. Thank you, sir. Support comes from Historic Albany Foundation, celebrating 50 years of preservation, saving Albany's stories one brick at a time. HistoricAlbany.org. Thanks again to Darren Tracy for being here. Thank you for listening. Thanks for the great calls and emails. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Andrea Leon screened the calls. Thanks, Andrea. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, the gardeners are back. We'll see you at 2:00.